It's now time for Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. It began as a podcast, went live on the net, and transformed into a full-blown empire. It's the only daily boxing talk show on the planet, hosted by the only guy with the balls to do it. Many have stepped into the ring. Many have tried to take the belt. And one by one, they've fallen. Another victim of the undisputed heavyweight champion of Boxing Talk Radio. Talkin' Boxing with Billy C is on now.
My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
The Billy C Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri. It's time for the Billy C Show. Good morning, good day, good evening. Whenever you listen, hope you're doing all right. I want to give a special shout out to Fight TV and all of the viewers on Fight TV. And don't forget, you could download our app today and watch this show on Fight TV. That's right. Just go to Fight. That's F-I-T-E. Go to fight.tv/Billy C and download our app today. Now, as a matter of fact, do it now. Today's show is being brought to you by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria, an Italian restaurant located on beautiful St. Simon's Island in Georgia. Check out his website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328. Find out why I travel all the way to St. Simon's to get a pie that meets my standards, and you know that I'm a fat bastard and I like my pizza and my Italian cuisine, and that's why I travel to Sal's. So check it out. Get directions on the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by Gawkbox. What is it? Check it out. I can save you money. I can get you free downloads. I can get you all kinds of stuff, and at the same time, you could be helping us out. So you help me, I help you. That's the way it works. Check out Gawkbox. Visit our website and click the banner to see what I'm talking about. We have an account up there, and we want you to take advantage of what we have. So visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the Gawkbox banner, which is on the right-hand side. And speaking of our website, in case you haven't visited it in a while, we've revamped it. And it's doing very well. As a matter of fact, I think you'll like it. It's all designed to be able to be viewed on your handheld. Plus, our news feeds are up to date. And, you know, we got to thank my man Dax Khan for keeping up with that. So if you got any suggestions, contact Dax. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by our Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko post-fight show, which is going to be taking place Saturday right after the fight. Now, we're going to be watching a live fight, so it's going to be early, which is great. So I'll actually be awake, and you guys will catch me before I have a dozen scotches. So don't forget to join us for our Anthony Joshua, Vladimir Klitschko post-fight show. And finally, today's show is being brought to you in part by my book, Tom Molyneux, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all great books are sold, and you can literally get a copy of it right now while you're watching or listening to this show by visiting barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. Find out why we got a 5-star rating across the board. Coming up later in the week, we are doing our Blast from the Past, which is another blast that's been requested by you guys. And if you want to request a blast from the past, feel free to drop me an email, billy@talkinboxing. That's TalkinBoxing. And speaking of contacting me, don't forget, if you take the time to send me an email, we'll take the time to read it. Send it to the same address, billy@talkinboxing. TalkinBoxing.com. Today, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, but let's start off with our post-fight discussions on the big fights this weekend. We had the Showtime event, which is, speaking of Showtime, Showtime Sean Porter against Andre Berto. The co-main event, Jermell Charlo going up against Charles Hatley over on the pay-per-view, which incidentally, $55 for that pay-per-view. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. But Oscar Valdez in that one, Gilberto Ramirez, Magladeno, and also the Olympic pro debut of Shakur Stevenson. We'll talk about that. Over in Germany, Arthur Abraham, he's going to be getting another shot at his title. And Gabe Rosado, once again, getting edged in a fight that could have gone either way. We got some boxing news. We got all that stuff coming up. But first, I got to bring on my man. He's a New Jersey Boxing Hall of Famer. He's a Guinness Book of World Record holder. He's a restaurateur. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, even if you're still in diapers, please welcome the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sal Rocky Senecola. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well, man. I'm doing pretty well. The sun is out. I'm regretting not cutting my lawn yesterday. It was a little wet, and now today I'm like, oh my God, man. I'm gonna need to. You know what a sickle is?
Oh yeah, man. I used to use a sickle.
I know
it was a motorcycle, but it was a sickle.
Yeah, before you were so rich that now you have a guy that uses the sickle. But I'm going to need a sickle just to get chop.
It's like a machete with a pole.
It's kind of curved. I'm going to need one of those to get out to get the lawnmower started next week. But
I always thought it was a sickle, like because it was like a half a circle. So I thought they just didn't say circles a sickle, like half a.
Yeah, you should stick to the rest. Restaurant in the boxing business. Leave that stand-up comedy routine. Maybe put it back in that closet that's over your shoulder. But hey, Sal, let's start off by talking about some of these fights, and of course, we'll talk about the first one that most people had seen, or at least I'm assuming. Sean Porter fought Andre Berto in a fight, and you know the funny thing is on Friday we had an emailer that said, oh, I'm anticipating a lot of clinching and hugging, and I'm like, clinching and hugging, these guys go for the knockout. There was a lot of clinching and hugging. There was also a lot of headbutting and everything else, but at the end of the day, you know, Sean Porter came out on top. He improves to 27 wins, 2 losses and a draw with 17 knockouts. And Andre Berto, he drops to 31-5 with 24 knockouts. Round 9 is when it officially came to an end. Sean Porter stopping Berto at 1 minute and 31 seconds. Both fighters were cut from headbutts. Sean Porter seemingly took the worst of it. But the one thing, before I get involved with my thoughts on the fight, obviously I'm going to throw it to you, but the one thing I noticed, Sal, and it was something that we both talked about on Friday, was the simple fact that Sean Porter is just so inaccurate with his punches. He is so, I love the fact that he's the Energizer Bunny in there. He never seems to get tired, is always pushing. He's the aggressor. He's throwing his hand, letting his hands go, throwing punches from all angles. But geez, Sal, you never know when they're going to land, if they're coming close, if they're not. I just wish he could tighten that up and spend a little time focusing on, you know, where his punch is going to land. I know they've got to work on something in the gym along those lines, but in the fights, like I was kidding on Friday, it's like lightning, and I don't mean hand speed. I mean that it doesn't hit the same spot twice. What was your thoughts on the fight?
Well, you know a lot of what I'm going to say. You know, first of all, pretty much what I said on Friday came to fruition. I said this guy's going to punch in bunches, and how many are going to land? I think they had a punch that maybe 40%, 42%. But the bottom line is this guy has the fire. He has the passion. He has the warrior mentality to win. And cumulatively, all those elements put together is going to be a fierce, rough and tumble, not a pretty, but a good, good, effective warrior who's going to go in there, do what he has to do to win. And that's exactly what he displayed, exactly what he did. And you're right. Those punches, what I said on Friday was like, you know, he's almost like punching. And work with somebody with the mitts. They're not coming back. They're going to be here. He's doing a perfect combination. But, you know, if you're against an opponent, he's not there. But the bottom line is, you know, mitts or no mitts or accuracy, he did a hell of a job. I mean, the guy comes in condition. He's in shape. He could punch for 12 rounds, bell to bell. And, I mean, there's a lot there. I just love to see a lot of what I saw the other night. And he won the fight effectively. He just mauled. He just never laid off the guy. And if I was very, very kind, I gave Berto maybe 2 rounds, so the 8th round and the 1st round. But I had to be very kind to give him that 8th round. But he surely couldn't have withstood that pressure. And that's all that Sean Pressure, that's his new nickname, Sean Pressure. Sean Porter does. He applies that pressure, and you got to fold.
Yeah, but you know, Sal, I agree with you. And don't get me wrong. I am a huge Sean Porter fan.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I feel that he's kind of been robbed. And I thought he kind of, you know, edged out Keith Thurman and Kell Brook as well, you know. So, I mean, but again, you know, when you're watching from the living room, so to speak, you know, and maybe some of those punches seem like they land. And when you're ringside as a judge, maybe you see that they don't. And maybe, you know, that's why he lost those other two fights. But in the Andre Berto fight, I clearly saw a guy that lets his hands go. But I'm not so sure he knows where they're going to end up. And it's not like Berto was moving and you know, putting on a fleet of foot display. I mean, I'm concerned because listen, you know, Floyd Mayweather... A fighter like Floyd Mayweather would just have a field day with a fighter like Sean Porter because of the inaccuracies of his punches. You know, a disciplined defensive fighter like Floyd. You know, and when Floyd fought Madonna. Maydonna, he didn't fight her, but you know what? He could knock her out because he does like knocking out women. But, you know, when he fought him, I always looked at Marcos Maidana as a fighter that was inaccurate, but geez, he was more accurate than Sean Porter. Is there anything a fighter can do or a trainer can do to increase the level of accuracy with a fighter? I mean, can they work on something in the gym?
They can. I mean, of course, you know, we're going back to the mitts then, you know, moving the mitts and hitting there and boom, slapping it, make it happen. But, you know, you don't want to spoil too much because obviously this is the guy's 90-something percentile winning style. And, Bill, here's what I'm concerned about. Yes, he does miss a lot. He misses more than 50% of his punches. But each punch you throw sets up another punch. And in his little repertoire, in his little momentum and doing things, he's throwing one wild punch he might miss, but he's going to come back with another one that's going to connect. Now, I'm not saying it's the most graceful, it's the best style, it's what he should continue to do. I think he should work on his accuracy and hitting that target and looking at it and moving and sparring and everything else. And that a good trainer can help bring out. But the bottom line is if this guy does miss with one, you surely know that at least that one punch set up his next one coming up with the momentum. So, you know what? At this stage of his fighting career and the success that he has had, I would work on the accuracy to a degree. But if he can't hit the target at all times, at least when he's coming back with the momentum of the other punch that it's supposed to set up, he's going to connect. You know, even if he connects 1 and 3. Like I said, most fighters are going to have to fight him like a matador in with a bull because this guy's a bull, and I love it. And, you know, like Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman was able to stay away from the big shots at times and outbox him a little bit like Floyd Mayweather would do possibly. But the bottom line is, you know, I thought all I could think about the other night was, what's going to happen if this is the same Sean Porter that goes in with the Keith Thurman? Because, you know, it was close the first time. But, you know, maybe it might be different the second time. But I think he definitely needs to work on his accuracy. Go ahead.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
But I loved everything else.
No, you know, And you know, it's funny because we were talking about the mitts on Friday and how, you know, a lot of fighters use it as a choreograph scenario. And that could very well be what's happening with Sean Porter, that, exactly. You know, they work with the mitts and he knows where the mitt's going to be. So that's where the punch is. But a fighter isn't mitts. You know, he doesn't know where they're going to be. So maybe, you know, his father, who's his trainer, has to, you know, use the mitt workout a little more effectively. As far as the Keith Thurman possibility of that fight, you know, Keith Thurman, you know, he moves way better than Andre Berto.
Yes,
and it's almost like, you know, when you look at that fight, the first fight, you know, and hoping that we're going to see a second, the first fight with Porter and Keith Thurman, and then you look at the fight over the weekend with Sean Porter against Andre Berto. I mean, we might even be able to say that his accuracy is getting worse because Andre Berto is kind of a stationary target. And let's be real. Andre Berto, you know, one of his biggest weaknesses is his stance. He's got that weird wide leg stance. And his, you know, the way his feet are naturally, I mean, they're almost like not pigeon-toed, but, you know, like the opposite of pigeon-toed, like a penguin, you know. And so he's got his feet like that. He's got that wide stance. You know, he's not getting power behind his punches like he used to. And that Virgil Hunter is, you know, I mean, this is a guy that is terrible. You know, his trainer, he does nothing. They made no adjustments, and their guy took a beating. I don't know, man. It's interesting to see. Did you hear any type of instruction from Virgil in the corner?
No, I didn't hear much of anything. No, and that's the whole thing. You know, you want to maybe my audio was low. Maybe I was in a position because I did a lot of yelling that night. My voice a little sore. But you've got to be explicit. You've got to keep calm, and you've got to give the details of what your fighter is supposed to do and how he can capitalize on something negative that his opponent is revealing. But you know, if you're not going to relay that, you know your rhetoric and your babbling and all your little coaching and all your little rah-rah is not going to help.
Speaking of rhetoric, they talked to both fighters after the fight. Both fighters, meaning Sean Porter and Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman, you know, during the pre-fight stuff, was talking a lot of smack about how he can beat this guy and he wants to bring the fans the best fights, blah blah blah. And here we are in a fight that was supposed to dictate his next defense for the WBC. He says, well, it's time to negotiate. You know, so it's almost like, you know, he's looking for bigger money fight, whatever. You know, once again, Keith Thurman acting like he's way bigger than he is. On the undercard, we saw Jermell Charlo make a successful defense of his WBC junior middleweight title against Charles Hatley. This fight didn't seem competitive at all. Hatley hit the canvas early in the fight, and then finally, at 32 seconds of the sixth round, Charlo retained his title with a beautiful timed knockout punch that sent Hatley down and out. Charlo improves to 29-0 with 14 knockouts, and Charles Hatley suffers his second defeat, dropping to 26 wins, 2 losses, and a draw. What was your thoughts on this fight, Sal?
No, it was a hell of a fight. I mean, he was so dominant, and he did a great job. He dropped him twice, but you know, I think that even Paulie was saying ringside. He goes, "How beautifully that punch was delivered." You want to talk about accuracy? When Charlo delivered that right hand, it came right from his side of his face, and he just pivoted, turned it over beautifully, because he's not known as a devastating puncher, but he did exactly what he had to do to knock out Hatley, and he landed that with 100% accuracy, right from the chin, the way he's supposed to deliver it, boom, and turned it over, and he just laid him out, and that was a devastating punch, and you could ask Charles Hatley about how he feels about that one.
Well, he can't deny that he lost a fight. But anyway, Sal, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the pitiful pay-per-view. Listen, the Valdez fight was great. And Magladeno made quick work of his opponent. But the other two fights, and my hang-up with it was the cost. I mean, $54.95 for that. I understand what we were talking about on Friday, saying that it was the only vehicle to watch the fight. Nobody was interested in the fight, blah, blah, blah. So then, you know, if you're going to do a pay-per-view, make it so people say, what the hell, I'll spend $29.95. $55? Come on, man. I feel bad for anybody that bought it. Hey, listen, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about that pay-per-view and some other fights. Then we're scheduled to get Dax Khan on. We got some news to talk about. Another fighter dropping out of a fight somewhat last minute, Sal. We'll get to that in a little later.
The Billy C. Morning Show will be right back.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now, or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts. Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning.
Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. And don't forget about Gawk Box. What is it? Check it out. Go to the website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the Gawk Box banner. And find out how we can help you, and you can help us. Anyway, with me now is my man, Sal Rocky Senicola. And Sal, the pay-per-view fight I was talking about earlier wasn't, in my opinion, really worth the $55 they were selling. But I will tell you this. The Oscar Valdez against the Miguel Mariaga fight was extremely entertaining. I mean, this was one of those classic one-sided but very entertaining fights. Valdez retained his featherweight title. He improved to 22-0. And Mariaga drops the second fight of his career. He drops to 25-2. The way the judges scored it, 119-108, 116-111, and 118-109. He's looking to fight Leo Santa Cruz next. But did you get a chance to watch this fight or see highlights of this fight?
No, I'm sorry, Bill. I did not. I did everything I could just to see the Sean Porter fight and the Charlo.
Well, you missed a good one, and the bottom line is this was an extremely entertaining fight, similar to the undercard that was broadcast on Showtime. Dapudang fought the young fighter, and same type of a fight. You know, gave it his all and showed the heart of a lion, but just was being outgunned. And by the way, Dapudang was a late minute sub, literally a couple of days' notice, and was fighting a couple of weight classes out of his own weight. And I appreciate when fighters do that and then put on the performance like he did. But Oscar Valdez, he's the real deal in the featherweight division, and I'm looking forward to when and if he does fight in a unification fight specifically with Leo Santa Cruz. That would make for an extremely entertaining fight. Both fighters like to mix it up. And then don't forget, we got Carl Frampton as well.
Yes.
And I still like to see another fight between Santa Cruz and Frampton. The undercard featured world super middleweight champion, which, you know, I could hardly get the words out, because this guy, not only doesn't he deserve to be a world champion based on who he's fought, I'm not saying he doesn't have a lot of potential, but right now his body of work does not justify him being classified as a world champion. But Gilberto Ramirez improved to 35-0 with 24 knockouts when he won a extremely boring 12-round fight over Mac Burzak, who drops to 33-5-1. All three of the judges scored it the same, 120-106. But, I mean, how boring was this fight, Sal?
How boring?
How boring crickets. Was it? This fight was so boring that the fans were trying to do the wave. Wave. Now, normally you see the wave at baseball or football games, but at a boxing event, I mean, I don't know. I think historically that it might have been the first time that the fans were so bored that they coordinated themselves into doing the wave. I mean, what does this do for his stock? I mean, to me, his stock has plummeted in terms of a draw. And then, oh, by the way, tack on the fact that this was a $55 pay-per-view.
Well, they'll be reconsidering that price next time he fights, if he's the main event versus a co-feature with somebody bigger, but we'll see.
You know, the bottom line is he's got a... this is what we get when fighters basically... their promoters buy them a championship belt, you know? And now we're supposed to accept the fact that Gilberto Ramirez is still developing as a fighter. And, oh, by the way, he's a world champion. You know, so I don't buy it. You know, I like what Oscar Valdez, his people were saying. They said, you know, the easy part in today's sport of boxing, Sal, and this was a true statement. He said the easy part of today's boxing is getting a world title, which we agree on. He said the hard part is keeping it, because now all of a sudden you're fighting guys that may be a legit mandatory for you, and you got to really show your stuff. Gilberto Ramirez might be a guy that they just can't continue to coddle. I mean, Max Burzak was a fighter that really has been out of the eye, so to speak, the major eye of the super middleweight division for a long time. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, like everybody that is in the championship division or has the belt, yeah, you've got to face the fighters. You've got to face the number one ranked contender in the world, no matter who they may be at the time when you have a mandatory defense of your title. So your stage of coddling and developing and everything else is over. And, you know, if you can maintain it and defend your championship and you defend your title, then that's great. You know, do it. But if you're going to be called out by a contender that's a little better than you are, you know, all you can do is learn and look to have that rematch clause built into the contract.
Every fighter should have that. But just to get everybody caught up real quick with the other fights on that same overpriced pay-per-view, Jesse Magaldeno improved to 25-0 with 18 knockouts when he knocked out Adelson Dos Santos pretty quickly, 2 minutes and 51 seconds of the second round, to improve to 25-0 with 18 knockouts. Dos Santos drops to 18-3 with 14 knockouts. Now Magaldeno is looking to possibly unify his title with Guillermo Rigondeaux, which would be a pretty tough fight. And, of course, yeah. Ray Vargas, who's the WBC champ. So we'll see what happens. Shakur Stevenson, a 2016 United States Olympian who fell short of a gold medal. He was put in with an experienced fighter to make his professional debut. Edgar Brito gave him a tough fight. And Shakur Stevenson got out of the fight with a win. All three judges scored it a shutout. It was a six-round fight, too, by the way, 60-54. Fans booed. They didn't like the performance by Stevenson, and they didn't like the shutout score either. But nonetheless, Stevenson got a win. He's 1-0, and Brito drops to 3 wins, 3 losses, and a draw. Tough pro debut for the U.S. Olympian.
Yeah.
Over in Germany, Arthur Abraham getting an opportunity in a WBO super middleweight title eliminator, fought Krasniqi in a fight. And Robin Krasniqi hung in there, but Abraham did better. I thought Abraham dominated the fight. Most of the judges saw it that way. 118, 110, 117, 111 for Arthur Abraham. One judge had it extremely closer, 115, 114. I lean more towards the 118, 110. I thought that Abraham put on a good display. He is aging. He's not the same fighter he was. We talked about that last week. But nonetheless, he won the fight. Now, he's looking to get a rematch with Ramirez and Gilberto Ramirez. If he sees the version of Abraham we saw on Saturday, might be in for some trouble. At the end of the fight, Abraham said, this was an all-or-nothing fight for me. Now I'll get to box for the world championship, and I must give everything again. Must give it all, his all again, is what he meant. And he says, he also begged the audience to sing happy birthday to his trainer, Yuli Wegner, who turned 75, and then he sang it. So I thought that was kind of cool. Also on that card, Tom Schwartz improved to 19-0 with 12 knockouts. When he scored a second-round knockout over Adrian Radzavik, who drops to 17-2. This is another one of these heavyweights from Germany that we got to keep an eye on. Also, over in England, in Liverpool, actually, Martin Murray improved to 35 wins, 4 losses, and a draw when he won a 12-round majority decision over Gabe Rosado. Now, I didn't get to watch this whole fight, but I did see some clips of it. And once again, it appears to me that Gabe Rosado got robbed. 119-109, 116-112 with the way the two judges scored it for Martin Murray. And then the third judge had it even, 114-114. I don't know. Again, I saw highlights. But what the ringside reports, what I've seen is I don't know how the judges can come up with a 119-109 score. This fight was much closer than it appeared. Once again, Gabe Rosado showing that he'll fight anybody. He drops to 23-11 with 13 knockouts. I didn't realize he had double-digit losses already. And Martin Murray, he improves to 35-4 with a draw. We'll see what happens with him now as he tries to move forward again in the middleweight division. One last fight I wanted to mention. In the heavyweight division, Christoph Zimanok improved to 22-1 with a draw and 15 knockouts when he scored a brutal second-round knockout over Michael Grant, who's 44 years old now and has demonstrated over the years that he has no chin. How he even got a shot at Zimek, I don't know. Not that Zimek is a world beater by any stretch of the imagination, but considering the safety issue, Michael Grant, 44 years old, yes, he's 6'7", but he has shown that he's very susceptible to getting knocked out and was in some serious trouble. Not only did he get knocked down one time, they let it continue until he was totally knocked out in the second time. One last thing I wanted to mention and get your thoughts on here, Sal, before I read some emails, is speaking of heavyweights, Huey Fury, he was scheduled to fight Joseph Parker for Joseph Parker's first defense of his WBO World Heavyweight title and withdrew from the fight, Sal, yesterday, officially withdrew. And in the statement that they made, they said that Huey Fury had been suffering from a back-related injury for over 3 weeks, and they realize now, a week or so before the fight, that they can't continue. I know you're adamant about these pullouts, but if you suffer an injury, a legit injury, now the promoter of this fight claims that it's a total mistake. The Higgins of Duco Events, David Higgins, had been on record as saying that he thinks it's totally a BS lie. But if you do sustain or suffer an injury several weeks, don't you make a move then, Sal?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you owe it to the fans. You owe it to the promoter. You know, if it's something minor, you know, that you can contain and you've experienced before. But I mean, a back, that's your core, your back, and where you're delivering the punches and everything else from, whether it's the middle back, the lower back, the shoulder blades, who the heck knows. But the bottom line is, he probably should have revealed something at that time that he was going to go to the doctor, going to get check it out, and maybe have a couple treatment, maybe let everybody aware of it. You know, we're guarded, we're cautious, and maybe have to reschedule a fight. I don't know. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, last minute thing a week before the fight, it's a little, especially if you say, hey, it's been going on for a couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, the official statement said that he's been deemed by a doctor unfit to fight. And like you said, it, you know, you sustain an injury in training. Specifically,
you get it looked at immediately, Bill.
Well,
that's
my point. I mean, you know, not at all. Did we hear anything about? As a matter of fact, 3 weeks ago, I recall hearing nothing but positive things from his training camp.
Well, you know, then again, that could have been positive reinforcement, another rhetoric that they just wanted to allude to the fact that he's fine.
Well, he's not so fine now.
But he's not so fine now, huh?
Yeah, and they're talking about postponing the fight, which, you know, in that particular situation, you know, if I'm the promoter, maybe I look for another opponent. I mean, because a promoter, you know, people don't understand that there's more ramifications. Now, if there's a legit injury, there's a legit injury. But there's so many ramifications from a promoter standpoint, you know, television rights, advertisers, venues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, now all of that is put on the shelf. It's a shame. Hey, listen, let me get you caught up with some other scores and other sports and results. Then we got some emails to read. Then we're going to take a break and get Dax Khan on and get his thoughts about the fights and some other stuff. But in the NBA, we're in the middle of the playoffs. Well, the Cavaliers, they beat the Pacers 106-102. They win that series 4-0, and now get to rest a little bit as they get to advance to the next round. The Houston Rockets top the Thunder 113-109. They take a 3-1 game series lead over the OKC. The Celtics hang in there and beat the Bulls 104-95. Now that series is tied at 2 games apiece. And the Jazz beat the Clippers 105-98. And that series is tied at 2 games apiece as well. So we got some competitive NBA playoff games going on. And we got the Cavaliers that appear that they're going to be walking into the finals again. Over in the NHL, the Ottawa beat the Bruins 3-2 in overtime. They win that series with the win, 4-2. The Capitals beat the Maple Leafs 2-1 in another overtime game. You know, you can't deny that playoff hockey gets pretty exciting. The Capitals win that series 4-2. So those teams will advance. So we'll keep you posted on that. Over in Major League Baseball, the Reds top the Cubs 7-5. The Astros beat the Rays 6-4 in 10 innings. The Red Sox top the Orioles 6-2. The Phillies over the Braves 5-2. The Pirates beat the Yankees 2-1. The White Sox over the Indians 6-2. The Cardinals beat the Brewers 6-4. The Tigers beat up on the Twins 13-4. Rangers finally getting the bats going. They're they win over the Royals 5-2. The Rockies shut out the Giants 8-0. The Blue Jays over the Angels 6-2. The Mariners, talk about getting bats going. The Mariners beat the A's 11-1. The Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 6-2. The Marlins over the Padres 7-3. And in the late game, the Nationals sweep the Mets, who are in some serious trouble, 6-3. So that's what took place over in Major League Baseball. I got a couple of emails to read, Sal.
Let's go. Let's do it.
First one is from my man Joel. He says, hey, Billy C, we had a weekend full of boxing. We got another one on tap coming this weekend. Since I know you were going to discuss the Porter-Berto card, what did you think of Abraham's performance over Krasniqi? Did Sal get a chance to watch that fight at all? I've said this before. When Abraham has his back against the wall, he's tough to beat, and that's why I feel we're going to see that's why I feel we saw Abraham punish Krasniqi for most of the fight. I hope Abraham can fight this way in his rematch with Ramirez. Whenever that mandatory occurs, Ramirez has proven to be a boring champion, so seeing Abraham take back the title would be a welcome feeling for me. I agree with Joel on this one, Sal. And I know you didn't get a chance to watch that fight, right?
No, but I'm going to watch it today.
Yeah, that one you could see up on YouTube. That one's up there. But he says, also, did you and Sal hear that Sam Solomon returned to the ring this past weekend in Australia? This was his first fight since he lost to Devrenchenko. He stopped the journeyman in Blazes Horvath in 3 rounds. I like him, but maybe he's well past his time and should retire. What do you think? You know, I think he's 44. You know, he won his first title, then he lost. I don't know. He's kind of a barbaric fighter. I mean, do you think he should continue? I mean, if he's demonstrating he still possesses skills, I mean, you think he should continue at 44?
Well, again, you know, that's one in one's heart and one's mind and one's passion. Physiologically, is it safe for him to do so? Well, you know, I can't judge that. I mean, I made a comeback at 53, but the bottom line is, you know, he's got to be careful. He's got to fight and protect himself, but he can't also let that become his thing when he's out there, because if you're afraid to lose, you're going to be afraid to win. And why bother? So that's his personal soul-searching thing. As long as he's getting his brain scans and annual license renewal and all that stuff, and do the physicians see that he's got enough going on that he's not suffering too much brain damage or so, then I think he should continue. Who am I to say for anybody else not to pursue their dreams and limitations on what they can do?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if a fighter passes all the medical requirements,
yes,
and, you know, I mean, and they still want to fight and they can still perform at a professional level, then more power to them. And exactly. Finally, Joel says, I'll be tuning in Saturday for the post-fight show, even though it's going to be early, so I can chat with you guys. Well, we appreciate that. We got another email. This one's from my man Mitch. He says, well, you called it, Billy C. I'm going to call you Billy C. Stradamus from now on. another pullout in a late pullout in a fight with a highly questionable injury. And he's referring to the Huey Fury Joseph Parker fight. He says, and then he sent a link to a video, which I'm not going to plug because you know, unless somebody advertises with us, we're not going to plug it. But he says this was another thing that Billy C. Stradamus predicted and that I've been saying for a long time. And this was about Virgil and how terrible he is as a trainer. Other people are starting to say it and they're acting like, this is a new thing. We've been talking about this for a long time. So thanks to my man Mitch. I've been saying this stuff for a long time. Now other people are saying it like it's brand new, Sal. And sometimes that gets to be it's a pain in the arse, if you ask me.
I know, but, you know, hats off to your Nostradamus cap. It's like
it's Billy C. Stradamus. Get it right. Fit that on a mug, Sal. Go ahead,
Fit that on a mug. Huey Fury in the news. Uh-oh.
No, you're thinking...
you know what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I do. Huey Lewis in the news. But anyway, I told you, stay away from that stand-up comic application you filled out.
Right. Hey,
I got one here. This is from Raheem. And the subject is CompuBox and Sal's Pizza. So let's see what he's got to say.
I love this analogy. Let's go.
He says, hey, Billy C, Raheem here. He says, my father and I would like to understand how CompuBox scoring is done and how accurate it is. Is it a proper way of scoring, and does it have flaws? And for amateur boxing, is it also CompuBox? I recently saw Mayweather's Olympic fight when he lost, and he got the bronze. I thought he won the fight, but I just didn't understand how the fight was scored, and just want to get your thoughts, and if you thought his Olympic loss was justified and not. Now, I get to the pizza question in a second. As far as CompuBox, I'm very adamant about my feelings on CompuBox. First of all, the way it's done is it's literally scored. There's two people ringside, and they each have a laptop computer, and one is in charge of the red corner fighter, and one is in charge of the blue corner fighter. And what they do with their fingers on a keyboard is record a punch that's thrown, a punch that's landed, and then they define whether a punch is a power punch or a jab. There's only two. A jab, even though it knocks someone out and could be a very powerful jab, which must be if you knock someone out with it, as a CompuBox stat, that would show up as a jab, which is a flaw in the system. Yeah. What I don't like about CompuBox and all the other names they have for it is the fact that it's being scored by two guys that have a subjective opinion on the fight. How many times can we all watch the same fight in the same location, whether it's on a couch, whether it's ringside, whether it's in the nosebleeds? If there's three of us watching a fight and we look at a specific punch, in a lot of cases, all three of us could very possibly have three different opinions on that punch. Did it land? Did it land flush? Did it miss? You know, I see it miss. Sal sees it lands, flush. Dax is sitting with us. He sees that it grazes him, you know, and it's all subjective. Now, we could all make an argument for our own thought of what we saw, but at the end of the day, it's subjective. CompuBox gets talked about and discussed specifically from the commentators on HBO are ridiculous with it. They act as if it's a stat that's fact. In the sport of baseball, you get up 10 times, you get 5 hits, you're batting 500. That's a statistic. If you're a running back in football, you get the ball 10 times, you gain 100 yards, you average 10 yards a carry. It's a statistic that's based on fact. Boxing, those so-called statistics, are based on subjective opinions. Now, once they remove the human element, when they can invent some kind of a apparatus that can score a fight without the human element involved, then we will end up with CompuBox type stats that indeed would be stats. The only way that they could make those statistics true is if they went back and watched every single fight, every punch thrown, and then frame by frame decide whether that punch was landed and if it was not landed. And the time that they would take to do that is so extravagant that it will never happen. So the bottom line is it's a conversation piece and should not be considered statistics until the human element is out. Sal, Rocky Santacola, what's your thoughts on those types of statistics, CompuBox, ShowBox, whatever?
Well, like you just said, I mean, you gave a whole dissertation. It was absolutely encompassing the whole variables as well as the facts, and it is subject to human error right now and opinion. I mean, there's some core things there that they can record that everyone can see, of course, but like we said, you know, as long as it's subject to a individual's opinion and not fact, maybe you should have two people on each fighter. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's still, even if they have five people on each fighter, it still becomes subjective.
You know what? The bottom line is, yeah, and you know, maybe Alex can invent something that can be a little bit more predictable, a little bit more accountable for what punchers do with his magic things that he does, feeding the computer with the fight stats. I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's
going to
be.
They did invent something that we talked about several weeks back about a non-impact version of boxing, where you're not allowed to hit in the head and all this stuff in the glove. See, it's simple. The glove can be fitted and designed with a send signal very easily. That wouldn't impact hurting someone. It could be such a small chip embedded in the glove. So that end of it is fine. It's the receive end where you put something on the body of a fighter. And I think, like, they could, if they were able to invent some type of a lotion that wouldn't, you know, come off or be ruined with sweat, they could actually put this type of stuff on, you know, the chest area and the facial area, and that is the receive part of it. And then once that happens, I think that that could be an answer. But you'd have to develop that receive lotion or Vaseline or whatever to a point where it can't be modified, you know, where somebody could mix something in there to block it. And it also would have to be able to stay on the fighter's skin throughout the fight, which, you know, perspiration, water being dumped on them and all that stuff. But
you know, anyway. I think we're just going to leave well enough alone. Otherwise, you're going to start hooking these people up. They're going to be looking like Rock'em Sock'em robots before the end of the day.
Well, don't even think that at some point in time they're going to have robots fighting and
like the old, what
was it? I don't know if it was an Outer Limits or
it probably yes.
There was
the guy was a robot.
Yeah,
and. One guy pretending he was a robot.
Exactly, exactly. He did. It was a great episode. Now for the pizza question, and then we're going to take a break and get Dax on the line and get his thoughts of the Sean Porter Berto fight, and also give us an update on the social media world. Raheem says, now I got a question for Sal. I would like to know how he started his pizza company and how he got his inspiration into business and making it a success. We're from Chicago, and I want to get you and Sal's opinion on New York pizza versus my hometown Chicago pizza. Which of the two has the knockout win of taste? Well, before Sal gives us a quick review of his business. you like that, right?
We know how
Sal can be, you know. So you know, a quick, because we got to get Dax on the phone, but a quick opinion of how that works. But real quickly, my thoughts on the end alone about New York versus Chicago pizza. I like a traditional New York pizza because I like a thin crust. Now, if I was in a mood for a thicker crust, I prefer a Sicilian-type pizza, but it has to still kind of be on the crispy side, you know, cooked. I have had Chicago deep-dish pizza. I don't really like it. You know, it's nothing against it, but I like less dough on my pizza. But that's my opinion. Sal, give us your thoughts on that after you give us a quick thing about your pizza business.
All right, my pizza business.
Thank you, Sal. That was quick enough. No.
When I was a young child.
Yeah. No. Well, in the beginning, there was the Big Bang Theory.
Billy, I've always been that fighter, that competitor. I strive for perfection. I want the best. So no matter what I did when I first retired, I put all that energy. That's why I became so productive and so successful in small business and stuff. I was still the fighter without the gloves, without the ring. I used it in a different canvas, another way to express my passion, my excellence, my striving for perfection and my success. And that's what I did. Same thing with the pizza business. I outlined a business model. I saw what I wanted to do. I saw a need for what I did. And basically, I put it all together, and I strived, and I did bulldog marketing, and I'm just very, very humble and very very grateful that the community has done what they did to receive me and welcome me. And like I said, it was a whole thing of stars aligning and a lot of prayers to God and everything else. And I'm going to say that. So I hope nobody doesn't get too squirrely on me with that. Yes, but I do appreciate that. And I do thank God every day.
Okay, so now the big question. What do you like better, New York pizza or Chicago deep dish?
All right, I am going to tell you this. We get a lot of people in from Chicago, and I offer to make them a deep dish pizza, and I can make it good deep dish pizza. Sometimes some people say it's the best one they've had. But the bottom line is a lot of times these Chicagoans, they come in, and they actually say they prefer my pizza, the thin crust, round everyday pizza that that you can get in the Northeast, and that's so well known from being called New York style pizza, and a lot of them do prefer it, and I do prefer it. You know, I've tried the deep dish, as you said, it's almost like one slice of a whole meal. It's too filling in a sense, and it's good, but I like the taste of what we have come to know as a thin crust pizza.
I like a Sicilian every now and then.
But, oh, I love the Sicilian. Yeah, but have you ever tasted my Sicilian pie?
You know, I don't know if I have. I think we did once.
My Sicilian pie. It's a winner. It's a great.
Sal, the problem when I go there is I just don't have enough time to eat all of this stuff. You know,
but, I usually invent different pies when you're there.
I know, and you know what I like. What do I like? What's my favorite?
You like mushrooms and meatballs.
No. I like all that, but my favorite, my go-to is a plain.
You and me both, Billy. My plain cheese. My father used to say to me, Salvatore, you do it right. All you need is the basic ingredients, the cheese, the dough, and the sauce. And he's right. That's my favorite pizza. What I do love is the fresh mozzarella. And that's beautifully. Instead of the shredded, that's my go-to pie, the Napolitano.
Yeah, no, I like that too. But hey, listen, let's stop talking about food. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we're scheduled to have Dax Khan join us. He'll give us his thoughts on the fights from the weekend and then what's going on in social media. So we'll be back in, I don't know, I'm going to predict 2 minutes.
The Billy C. Morning Show will be right back.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free. And get 2 free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at billycboxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. And someone that's not going to be joining us today is Dax Khan. I guess he had some equipment problems. But with us right now is Sal. And Sal, I wanted to get your thoughts on some other news that's coming out right now. In the super middleweight division, the WBA, now this is the same sanctioning body that has said time and time again that they want to, basically get rid of all the BS belts. And what they've done is they're trying to unify their own belts, but it's a smokescreen because they announced they got 2 more fights in the super middleweight division. One of them is Chudinov and George Groves because it was ordered because there was a case belonging in that one. And the second one was against Tyrone Zuge and Isaac Ekpo for the regular title. So the Fedor Chudinov and Georgie Groves fight would be for their super middleweight super title. And then the Tyrone Zuge and the Isaac Ekpo will be for their regular old super middleweight title. To me, it doesn't sound like they're trying to combine these belts, Al. What's your thoughts with all this rhetoric BS?
No, it's the fluff without the stuff. I mean, you know what? Like I said, they want to do the rhetoric. They want to sound like the feel-good police and everything else and do what they got to do. But no, you know what? It's like the other night, I had a laugh, and I was thinking of you, you know, with Sean Porter, Andre Berto. At the end, I saw, you know, they said this was for the title elimination championship. You know, it's unbelievable. Title elimination championship belt, but they wound up giving a gold medal, so it wasn't.
Did you
belt.
See that? Okay. Yeah, you know, that's
it.
Funny.
They gave a freaking gold medal around Sean Porter's neck.
When I saw that, I had to laugh. You know, because remember something. Remember one thing. These sanctioning bodies that are doing these eliminators are charging a sanctioning fee. So, I mean, who's making out here, you know? I mean, the fan is getting fleeced once again because, you know, we have an infusion of all of this BS of belts and champions and everything else. So the fan is getting screwed and the promoter's getting screwed because they got to pay. And the fighter, you know what? The fighter, you know, you can make the case that the belts are better for them because they get opportunities, blah, blah, blah. Hey, listen, all I know is all the fighters are being promoted by the same guy. And I think the WBA is it's all BS that they are not going to do their thing. And, you know, that's going to be the end of that. But anyway.
Get rid of the belts. They're going to get gold medals.
Yeah, they're going to get gold. They're going to get coffee mugs. I heard they're going to be getting coffee mugs like from
not,
you.
Yeah,
like yours right there. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, that's what they want. They want those, you know. But anyway. Hey, Sal, you have any final thoughts on what's going on today with some of the fights that took place over the weekend and what we got cooking as we come up to this weekend? We do our post-fight show. For Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko.
Well, I just, you know, this was a good weekend. You had some good, solid fights. And, you know, like I said, I loved watching the Sean Porter victory over Andre Berto. And anytime I see a fighter willing to put his juice and everything else on the line and do what he has to do to win, like I said, I get excited because that's the pure essence of what boxing and fighting and passion to be the best is all about. Is it may not be pretty in Sean Porter's delivery, but you know what? It was effective. He was able to get a victory out of this fight. And I am so excited, Billy, this weekend. I mean, I can't wait for the heavyweight championship of the world to take place with this fight. It's going to be great.
And I tell you, you know, I agree with how you described it. It clearly will be, in my opinion, for the main world heavyweight champion. I mean, Deontay Wilder is, you know, I mean, he's not the champ. I think that the winner of this fight will be. Klitschko's been, you know, he dominated division for so long, and Anthony Joshua's the next guy in line, don't you think?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, to me, you know, Deontay Wilder, I wish him the best. He seems like a nice guy. We don't know if it's his promoter's management team that keeps him sidestepping or getting into this thing. And I hope he's ringside for this fight. And I hope he challenges the winner of this fight. And this way, you know, you want to see some unification take place? That's what he should do. Be ringside and ready to step in a ring and challenge a victor between Anthony Joshua Vladimir Klitschko. And that's what this fight is about, the passing of the baton, or the old man with the experience teaching a young man who has the fire in his gloves who's going to be boss that night. And that's what I love about this fight. It's such a perfect scenario. Does the experience, wisdom, and the maturity and the passion from an old fighter sustain the aggression and the heart of a young lion? We're going to see.
This is true. It's that simple. We're going to see. On this day in boxing history, April 24th, in 2004, Vitaly Klitschko knocks out Corey Sanders in the eighth round to win the WBC and vacant world heavyweight titles. That took place in Los Angeles, California on this day in 2004. On this day in 1999, Keith Holmes knocks out Hussein Sharifi in the seventh round to regain the WBC world middleweight title, and that took place in Washington, D.C. On this day in 1916, Jack Britton wins a 20-round decision over Ted Kidd Lewis to win the world welterweight title. It took place in New Orleans. On this day in 1931, Tony Canzanori knocks out Jack Kidd Berg in the third round to win the world junior welterweight title. It took place in Chicago. And I think they had some deep dish pizza afterwards. On this day in 1998, Manuel Medina wins a 12-round decision over Hector Lizarraga to regain the IBF World Featherweight title, and that took place in San Jose, California. And on this day, April 24th in 1999, Mark Johnson wins a 12-round decision over Renat Ritachi Vorapin to win the vacant IBF World Junior Bantamweight title, and that took place in Washington, D.C. On this day in 1999. Sal, any final thoughts on the fights from this weekend or anything else?
No, I think they're they all we talked about a lot of it today. You see my voice, I'm a little raspy. I think I was singing too much this weekend.
Yeah, I heard that you were singing a little bit with a lampshade on your head on the countertops. I mean, that wasn't too cool, man.
Wait till next week. I'm going to bring out my guitar. You'll really see. That's how I empty my restaurant at night. I start singing.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. But anyway, hey, listen, make sure you tune in next time. Same bat time. Let me just fill you guys in with what's going on. We are going back to 5 days a week. However, we're obligated to wait until we launch on our new networks. And I say that plurally because we will be launching on not one but two at the same time. And it, like I was saying last week, it will be on May 1st, which is not obviously today, but a week from today. So we will be back to 5 days a week beginning a week from today. We're excited about it, and we hope you guys are too. We are almost done working out all of the little bugs that we have with the system, but we will be finishing that up over the next few days. We finally got things working the way we want. And we're just trying to cater now to you guys that are watching us on other platforms other than television and radio so that you're getting the sounds the way you want it and all that other happy stuff that you know what we're talking about. But anyway, the bottom line is make sure you tune in next time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na